Hi, and welcome to Carillion Crush Radio. This is episode 182, or sort of, I guess. We'll get into that in a little bit. We are recording on Saturday, and we are live. My name is Jason. I'm joined by co-host Mox. Howdy, Mox.
Hey, Jason.
And also returning with us, Rav. Hey, Rav, how you been?
Hey, Jason. Well, actually, a lot has happened, Jason. There are some fun things, and there are also some sad things. But let's start with the positive news first. I've been playing a lot of Lord of the Rings online lately.
And cool.
That game recently had an update that brings you to the Gates of Mordor. So that's really cool. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to really check that out because Conrad is abroad at the moment and we usually play together if there is story content. So yeah, I've been trying really hard not to play it.
Now, but if I remember my Lord of the Rings, don't they just like hide under their cloaks and then run away from the gates?
Well, you have to reread Lord of the Rings.
Spoiler, man.
No. You're actually going with Aragorn and all his followers to the Black Gates.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, so this isn't when Frodo and Sam get to the gate. Okay, gotcha.
It's an MMO, so everyone plays their own character, which can be an elf or a hobbit or a dwarf, etc. It wouldn't make sense if you would follow the hobbits, you know, you would like kind of ruin their approach. So yeah,
I gotcha. All right, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's absolutely fine. So yeah, that's the part I have not been playing. That's really cool. So what have I been doing in Lord of the Rings Online? There is also the Spring Festival currently, and that's a really cute festival. You can run through a maze and collect chickens and all that sort of cute stuff. So I spent a lot of time doing that, and I earned a really nice dress and a really cool moth kite. So
kite,
I'm just
right?
Really happy with that.
You said a kite?
Yeah, a kite. They're like recent additions to the game. I think they were added in the autumn of 2016.
So you fly it or?
Yeah, it's like a, officially it's coded as a pet skill.
Ah, okay, I got you.
The vanity pet, it doesn't do anything. And you just hold it in your hand and it flies above you. And it's kind of cool. If you're running, it will run after you. Like, it will actually move diagonally.
Kind of
like
float and stuff. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So it's well done. And it looks really pretty. It looks like a real a moth with lots of colors. Yeah.
It sounds pretty awesome.
So yeah, that was the online stuff, and IRL, I've been feeling a little bit better again. So I've started running.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
Is that like out of doors or running errands or like what? Oh, like...
Yeah, it's in a big scary outside.
Yeah, there's a big orange thing in the sky. I try to avoid that.
I do actually enjoy that orange thing. So I've been running with a friend, and that's a lot of fun. And she's also in chat with us tonight. Hey, Haslarcha. So yeah.
Oh, very cool. So that's any other positive stuff? I know you said you had some other stuff, but any other positive, or is that the positives before we get the other stuff?
So that was the really nice stuff. And unfortunately, I could really use all that positivity because things haven't been going all that well on the SWTOR front. So some weeks ago, I don't know if you've been following my blog, but I wrote a post called 3 months of Galactic Command from the perspective of an endgame raider. And in this post, I looked back at the Galactic Command system as it was implemented at first, and like all the small changes that were made and the larger changes, and how I thought of it at the time. And when I was done with writing all that post, it was like really emotional for me. It felt like I call it also a bit of an emotional roller coaster. Like, I have been talking on CRR about Galactic Command and that I didn't like aspects from it, but Yeah, when I wrote it down, I was like, oh, this has been so exhausting. I'm just done with it all, you know? I just, all this grind and stuff, I'm so done it with it. I just don't want to play Star Wars The Old Republic right now.
So are you just done with it now?
Yeah, I'm really sorry, but I think for now, this is it for me. You know, I just don't want to log in and feel all those emotions and the pressure. And I just feel like I need to play something else. Something that's happy and colorful that will just cheer me up, you know? But yeah, I don't really... Let's go on with the show first and see, Mox, how have you been doing the last few weeks?
Well, you know, as I've said the last couple episodes, I've been playing a little bit more of World of Warcraft, and I'm enjoying that. This week was Pet Battle Week, so I've got a ton of my, what do they call those kind of pets, like, where you just have them out, they kind of follow you around?
Vanity.
Vanity pets, yeah. But you can actually have them battle. They battle pets in the world, and then that way you can capture more pets, and you can battle other players. So it's kind of like a la Pokemon. Yeah,
it's
Poke-Wow or whatever. I don't know.
Poke-Wow.
But anyway, this week was Battle Pet Week, so it's triple experience. So I've gotten like a bunch of pets up to top rank, which is 25. So that's a lot of fun. And I've actually now started to do PvP pet battles, which is fun. I get my butt whooped, but you get to see different other battle pets out there, like ones that I've never seen. You know, WoW's been around forever, so people have all this stuff for all the years that I had since I played it, and I'm seeing all these cool pets and they're kicking my butt, but it's fun. Speaking of Pokemon, though, I also was busy with the Pokemon Go spring event this week. They had like a water event, so all the water pets are out there. So anybody who plays Pokemon Go knows that Magikarp, you need like 400 candies to evolve it. And because of this water event, the Magikarps were everywhere. Couldn't swing a dead Meowth without, you know, finding a Magikarp. So I was able to evolve my Magikarps. So that was exciting.
Do you know if that was actually also online in Europe? Because the funny thing is, I didn't notice. Usually you would get a new loading screen in Pokemon Go, because I also play, right? But I didn't see a new loading screen. I just still had the old one with fireworks.
And yeah, I don't know if it
I didn't
was...
see.
I didn't see a screen,
one.
Yeah.
I only caught one Magikarp. And I live in the street with water. I always said it. So for me, water Pokemon are quite okay normally, but I didn't see that many at all. So I wonder if maybe it wasn't even online in the Netherlands or something.
I'm not sure if it was worldwide or not, but
yeah.
it was definitely here in the States. So it was interesting to see. So, you know, all of a sudden, just, you know, boom, there was water. There was like Magikarps everywhere. And, you know, I live in the middle of Indiana. And yes, there's some water around here. It's a river and whatnot. So we do see some, but you know, because again, for those that don't play, the type of Pokemon that appear generally depends on the environment. So if you're in a grassy area, you're going to see more grass types. You know, probably the mountains are going to see more stone types, and if you live near water, you see more water types. So, yeah. Anyway,
you know that one interview that we're planning to have in the future, that linguist that has this. You know, you can find a different language and different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like Nina right now, because I feel like you guys are talking, but I don't know what you're saying. I'm like, I know they're talking to me, but I just don't know what they're saying.
Well, there's some Pokemon that you have that are like water based, like they're fish, and so they obviously need to live near the water, so you see them more often near water. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get the concept of water.
Okay, well, there you go. So anyway, and I actually did play a little bit of SWTOR this week. I logged on and played a little bit with JT and Jess and Grog. We did some flashpoints, which was fun. You know, it's always good to play with friends, regardless of what game it is.
Right.
But again, you know, kind of with Rav, I'm feeling that I need, you know, a little bit of a new challenge. You know, since I hit the 300 command ranks, you know, it's time to move on. We'll see. What about you, JT?
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people like wondering like what's going on and stuff like that. You know, this kind of blew me away too. Both Rav and Mox kind of came to me, and they've been kind of, and you know, I'm kind of easygoing, so I like hanging out with people. So, you know, it's kind of true. I mean, some of the things we're going to be talking about today, There's going to be kind of people not knowing what we're doing, but some interesting, fun stuff will be heading out this way. So stay tuned. We'll be talking more about this. But as far as what I've been up to, I've been super busy with stuff other than gaming. It's stuff related to gaming, stuff related to stuff that I've been able to do relating to SWTOR, but I can't. It's kind of like that. I can neither confirm nor deny what I've been doing. But soon, I will be able to reveal some of that soon. And it'll be glad. I know there's some other people in the community that have some amazing stuff ready to go that BioWare is allowing us to do. So stay tuned. There'll be a lot of cool news. I've also been experiencing other games as well. In the limited free time I've had, let's see, I've been able to do a little bit of Mass Effect, which has been kind of cool because that game, they did a lot of changes to the combat, and I didn't know if I was even going to be able to play it.
It's Andromeda, I suppose you're talking about, right? Or the old Mass Effect?
It's Andromeda. Yeah, I right now, don't give me a start on the old games. For whatever reason, Origin and the games that I have, I'm unable to play them currently with the mouse setup that I have. Yeah, I wish I could. I'd love to go back and, you know, stream some of those, play some of those, because I love those games. But I'm actually, for all the flaws, and I know everybody's been up in arms about some of the stuff in Mass Effect Andromeda, and there are some bugs. I'm not giving a pass at all, but it's pretty good. I will have to say, I like some of the mechanics they added. Some of the mechanics I was really leery about, the jump jets and stuff like that, that I thought, oh no, don't, what are you doing to my game? But it's added a new dimension of combat that I didn't think I would like, but I actually do. And I could see that being added even in, to a certain extent, MMOs in the future. I could definitely see something like that. And it would be a new aspect, a new dimension on like combat. So that's kind of cool.
They can't be as cool as our new game, though.
Well, but you know, nothing's that cool. And then, like Mock said, I got in to play some Flashpoints of SWTOR. But again, like we said, we've kind of come to a thing where we're going to be moving on to another game, going to cover something else. And I know some people will be downhearted, but as we do that, we're going to swing into some sweet changes coming around here. As people have been noting from our title screen and our intro video, there's a little bit of Candy Crush. So with that, you guys ready to get into a little bit of the delicious news?
I'm ready to crush it.
Let's crush it. And with that, we'll move into our Candy Crush top stories. Yeah, like the sweet changes that we've been talking about, you'd notice from our lead-in video showed the podcast is changing. It's Corellian Run Radio currently, but we'll be going to CCR, Corellian Crush Radio. And so, you know, don't fret, everybody. I know we'll still be coming every other Saturday, and the audio along with the show notes will be on the website as usual. We've just been made the delicious choice to cover the exciting realm of Candy Crush. We hope that, you know, we're covering the other familiar titles that they've added to Candy Crush, the Soda one. I think there's a couple others. So have you guys noticed a couple of those other games?
Yeah, this is like all so new to me still. I'm just like going in and letting it all come to me. And it's so overwhelming. I haven't really like, I'll just keep the other titles for the future, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's like expansion packs kind of almost for us. So definitely.
Oh, you guys aren't up to Candy Crush Soda yet? What have you been doing?
I've kind of checked it out. But, you know, I want to take it slow. You know how I am, Mox.
Yeah, but I've already been through all 2,000 levels, right? Of Candy Crush. It only cost me $1,500.
Nice. No, actually, you know how I am about things. You know, I like to take it slow in the Zen method of gameplay. So. But, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, popularity of this. What are you talking, Candy Crush? What are you guys talking about? Well, actually, the popularity of Candy Crush, the game is going to be heading to TV. This is no joke. It's going to be heading to, I believe it's CBS.
That is correct.
It's going to be a game show. Early July, I think July 9th, it's going to be on the game show there. And I believe Mario Lopez is scheduled to be the host of that, so...
That's super interesting.
That's the guy from the high school TV show, right?
Saved by the Bell. That's
Saved
right,
by
sir.
The Bell. That's right. Yes.
I feel so un-American now. I don't know. I'll just have to catch up on
get
that.
Get on
I
Netflix.
Guess.
What are you doing? Go see Saved by the Bell. Good grief. That's a travesty in itself. Forget the gameplay.
It is. I have my application in to be a contestant on a game show. I feel as though I'm advanced enough already, even though I've only been playing for a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, Mark, you should do that.
Totally.
That's a great idea.
Well, you know, actually, I've been checking the things out. See, people are freaking out. But actually, we look to dominate the Candy Crush podcasting realm. And I think maybe we could get on the game show as the Candy Crush podcast.
As the
official
team.
The official voice of Candy Crush?
That would be wicked.
That would be wicked awesome. So definitely stay tuned, guys. When we have more news about us getting on the Candy Crush game show, we will let you know. In fact, maybe we'll even get it to where we can have some of our chat viewers maybe come along with us or something like that. So definitely stay tuned to that.
Obviously, our fans have played Candy Crush. I'm sure they all know what it is. But did you guys know that there's live events? Like actual like tournaments and stuff with Candy Crush, like, you know,
I know. See, everybody's freaking out. Like, this game has a lot of stuff going for it. I mean, live events and stuff that's going on constantly. I totally saw that. And it's pretty awesome.
Kid Lee's excited for it. I see that. That's excites me.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you think about it, a game like Hearthstone, you know, they also stream and they have like a huge contest. A lot of money is going around in that, and it's not. Really, like in Star Wars, you don't really have that, and I think it's pretty cool that we're entering like this game community where there's actually opportunities like that.
Well, and I actually put in chat the link there that everybody can follow along. It is from the Candy Crush actual website, and they have three live events, don't they, Mox?
Yeah. One, you're trying to get as many striped candies as possible, which, you know, obviously I'm a pro at that. By the way, JT, I did mean to comment. Your APM is good on the opening videos on you know the ones that were your games I was watching. But you have to work more on your strategy. You missed a couple key opportunities to get your chocolates or combine your chocolates with power ups. It's definitely if you want to get to the end game of Candy Crush, definitely need to work on that aspect of your game a little bit more.
Well, see, you got to get rid of the chocolate because the chocolate will just amass all over the board. So I wiped them out as fast as I could. So
no, I mean the little chocolate ones with the little sprinkles on them, like your chocolates. Yeah,
see,
the special ones.
I wait and try to get the striped one matched up with the sprinkle, and then you can spread the stripes everywhere.
But you had a bomb next to your...
Yeah,
and
I like
you
the striped ones
it.
Better. I like the striped ones better. It moves everything over.
Bombs are better.
I don't know. I'm going to have to get a star parse on that and see.
This might have to be it's not star parse. It's candy parse. Get it right.
Candy parse. My bad. I didn't know they had it out yet. I was kind of like modding a star parse. So
you were modding.
Yeah, I was trying to mod it and see if maybe we could get, you know, your stripes per minute. I was trying to work on that, actually, instead of the bombs.
Oh, is that
I find
okay.
The DPS on the stripes, it's more of an instant thing. I don't have to wait for the actual explosions. And then I can actually plan out my strategy on that better. So
we're going to have to have a debate, maybe.
I know,
in
right.
next episode, maybe we'll have to have stripes versus bombs, which is better.
I'm thinking we might have to.
That sounds like a great topic, actually. Yeah, I'm writing that down.
What's the other live events there? I think there's one, the collect the most stars, which that has to do with, you know, you can get it whether, and this is kind of familiar with people in WoW, if they've done the heroics and you can try to get through it as fast as you can. And so the better that you do, the more score you get and the faster you do it, you can get up to 3 stars for your thing. So the most stars you collect, I believe it's in a week, then you can relate those and you get more things, more loots, more fat loots.
Right, and then I think the fishing contest is specifically has to do with the soda because you're collecting the Swedish fish, which I believe is exclusive to the Candy Crush or the sodas.
Well, actually, you can go to the ones around Lemon Lake, the Candy Crush ones there, and they do have the Swedish fish there. So, but it definitely the soda one has more of the fish, so you'll be able to collect more on that one. But you still never fret, original OG Candy Crush players, you can still get the Swedish fish there. So.
So we felt since it's our inaugural Candy Crush episode that we would discuss some pro tips. So, Rav, what do you have for us as far as tips for our viewers who want to obviously get involved with Candy Crush?
Yeah, Well, I've been thinking a bit about ways to min-max and optimize your Candy Crush performance. And I would like to put forward something that's very important for optimizing your performance. And too often this is actually overlooked, even in Star Wars maybe. That's namely, I heard you say it earlier, it's APM or actions per minute. As we all know, there are 2,000 levels to beat in Candy Crush Saga. So there is no time to lose. We should crush those candies as soon as possible. So it's a scientific fact that if you click with a mouse, it's much slower than if you would use a keyboard, because the mouse has to move, and your muscle memory remembers keys much easier.
Oh, see, Mox, a key binding versus clicking debate.
I know.
Canon.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mox. So I've looked this up, and I have thought of an optimal way to keybind, and we should have a picture of that. Do we have a picture?
I'm not seeing it I've yet. Yeah, I've got it posted. It'll take just a little bit for the stream to catch up, but go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, because obviously, if you're not watching this live, but you're watching, listening in later, we'll have a picture posted, and then we're looking at a typical Candy Crush setup. You see a screen full of candies, obviously. There it is. And above, on the edges, you see the keys you would have to use for it. And on the horizontal bar, you see the numbers 1 to 9. And on the vertical bar, you see the modifiers. So it's a bit like, I don't know if this is very complicated, but it's think of it like chess, right? So the top row would just be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, get a notepad, Kidly. Well, we'll post this picture in the show notes as well, so you can then watch it and download it, and then you can use it whenever you want.
You could also screenshot it, and that would be a quick way right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, if you want to start
because
right now.
You start right now, obviously.
Yeah, otherwise you have to wait a few days for this to be published, so yeah. So vertically, those are the modifiers, and those are Shift, Control, Alt. Unfortunately, there are more candies than just those three modifiers, so we will also have to use a professional gaming mouse for the modifiers, mouse button 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5.
Well, who would be crushing without a professional gaming mouse?
Well,
I mean, come on, let's be real.
Some of us are not being able to use it. So is there a way that maybe someone like my GIMP self or Derpy self that does not have a gaming mouse can still do this Rav, because I want to be at the top of my game.
Oh, this is a tricky question, because like if you want to be the best of the best, you know, you just gotta commit. But I mean, these are I know some people also are like saying, oh, so many buttons to remember, you know, is this a good idea? Yeah, this it is like 81 buttons to remember.
Now I have a question. Has Conrad done the math on this?
No. I haven't really played Candy Crush with Conrad yet. I'm not sure if he is interested, but I'm sure in the future I will be able to get him on board.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously we have been in contact with the devs since we are MMO people. We are in contact with the devs and have asked them for multiplayer Candy Crush content, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's something I would be so exciting for, you know? If you could just look together and... Or for instance, if you're just watching together at this, and then you can... like in Hearthstone, you can say, like, okay, now that candy, you know? Move 4 to 3, or... like, if you look at this, let's do Control 5, you know? That's a good start.
Really, Control 5 is going to be your first move?
Yeah, I think more Control 6 to Control 7 is the first move there.
Get rid of those, what are they called? The gray thingies?
What is that? The gelatin?
Ice. That's the gelatin.
Icing or whatever.
You want to change Control 5 with Alt 5, for instance.
Okay.
I was looking at getting that special over there with the greens, but...
Yeah, see, like we're doing now, this is like super interesting discussion. If you could do this in the game, you know,
this
with
is the
everyone
meta.
Online.
The meta this is the meta of Candy Crush.
Yeah, exactly.
Discord.
And I also would like to note that this is not just some random numbers. I've thought about this. Like normally in MMOs you would use WASD. But in Candy Crush you don't need to move around, so you're not You're not that limited. So that's why I chose for the numpad to use for numbers 1 to 9. That you can just use that with your right hand, right? It's much easier, actually. And then you can modify them.
Vault's in here and demands a beginner's tutorial on whatever game this is. This is Candy Crush, sir. It is a popular game that's sweeping the nation, or has swept the nation for years. But we will definitely, I think Rav might be able to, were you going to work on that? Or, I don't know, you're pretty much min-maxing you two. It might be something in mind. I've kind of got, personally, that kind of works into my thing, my kind of zen mode of playing Candy Crush. It's kind of the beginning, because you really, you're not quite ready to get into the min-maxing yet of Candy Crush. So you kind of want to take it slow. Just enjoy the game for what it is. So you kind of want to make sure you have plenty of water or your favorite beverage. Although, your favorite beverage, please do not go with alcohol on this. This is still pretty serious. It's serious gameplay. So definitely want to have your water. Make sure you take plenty of breaks every, like, 15 minutes. And just to keep you in the mood, as a little treat on your breaks, after you complete a level, have a little candy. A little dish, a couple little pieces there to, you know, keep you in the mindset of the, kind of keep you in that kind of RPing Candy Crush. So you definitely want to have some of that. Stretching, you know, your wrists and fingers. Injuries will limit your Zen Candy Crushing. And injuries, you know, will take you away from the game. So definitely want to be stretching. And most importantly, have fun and enjoy all the sweet fun that Candy Crush does offer.
Oh, those are some really, really good tips, JT. I think, like, maybe you can even use them if you would still be using playing Strotor, you know? Just move.
Oh, those are just good tips in general.
Yeah.
Right, game tips. I try to, you know, use some of the game tips that we have done on this show and also Passionate Casual and apply it to the new game that we're going for. Let's see, Volk has another question. Another question, how much candy can I eat in the game before I explode? Well, actually, I think we're crushing the candy. I don't know that we're actually eating it. Would you say?
Well, if you're eating a candy after each level, you know, that might be a problem. So you might consider for your own personal, you know, your own personal well-being, maybe some sugar-free candy.
Oh, there you go. The good tip.
That's a good one. Tip. Yeah, good one.
And speaking of tips, you know, me being the grinder that I am, I felt that it is important to have some tips as far as how to get to that level, you know, finished and get to level 2000 as quick as possible so you can move on to soda like I did. I find it very good to max out your credit cards, to ask family and friends for their PayPal passwords. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. You definitely want to, you know, make sure that you, you know, are taking advantage of all these financial aspects you can, because you need those power-ups to get through some of those levels. You know, you don't want to have to wait a week to get, you know, past some of the gates that are in the game. So you have to maximize your friend loop. So by asking people for money, they're going to want to keep in touch with you that since you've borrowed money from them. So I think it's a smart thing to do. Get them in your Candy Crush loop and ask them for candy to help you advance, because obviously getting to the end is super important.
I have also a question for you, Mox, on that. Do you find demanding gifts in the game as acceptable way of getting those power-ups and stuff too?
Oh, absolutely. I think the more you contact your friends asking them for gifts, the more they'll respond to you on social media. So that, you know, they'll reply back to you and give you gifts, and it increases your own self-esteem that way, because you're getting all these really cool gifts.
Definitely. Oh, that's awesome, man. Good tips. I didn't think of the credit card. That's a good tip, man.
Yeah, I do have an important question. Have you guys decided to go the dark, chewy candy side, or are you going the light, hard candy side?
Interesting. I don't know that I've got that. What level is that on? I haven't got there yet.
It's there. You just need to make a choice, you know?
Make a choice. Choices make matter, choice. Right?
The choices matter, that's right.
Well, I'm usually a soft kind of candy girl.
Gotcha, you old softy, you.
I know, I'm a softy, yeah.
So, now, I know some people are, like, freaking out and whatever. We do realize not everyone that has followed us is into Candy Crush yet. We know you were getting there, so we understand. So we'll, you know, now shortly discuss a few things in SWTOR, you know, because people still play that game, which is, what, so 2016, I guess. So, actually, in that game, we did have that other game. We did have a couple news items there, Mox.
Yeah, 5.2 is about to drop. It's on our doorstep, just 10 short days away now. Yes, definitely. And we're getting the new daily area on Iocath.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. You can actually choose your faction when you get there. So you could be a Jedi Knight and finally play for the right faction, eh, Mox?
That's right. They're expecting some new world PvP to happen with this, but I fully expect everybody to be fighting for the dark side here. So I don't see how you're actually going to have PvP if everybody's, you know, dark side.
Oh, well, I see your point now, the open world PvP. Ah, I got you now.
Well, you know, Mox, it's kind of true because somehow I've noticed in the past that a lot more PvPers are usually... at least on the Imperial side. So when we used to have open world matches, for instance, on Oricon for a bit, or even with Conquest, and, well, veterans would say on Ilum and that sort of stuff, but back then I wasn't level cap yet. You always used to see that there's a lot more imps around, and then people would ask for reinforcements, and more people would come in for rep, and then... where people would come in for imp, and then at some point it was just a game of numbers. So that's gonna be interesting if we will see this. I hadn't thought of that yet.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And it also will be interesting to see how the servers perform. If this does take off, will there be lag issues? Because it's one of the things with open world PvP. A lot of people always complain about lag with having so many people in a given area. I hope that they have addressed that. I mentioned in the last episode, also, I am definitely reserving judgment until I see this new daily area implemented, because I want to make sure that it's group friendly. I want to make sure that it can be done in a reasonable amount of time. I don't want to have like 15 daily missions that I need to, that I feel compelled to play and do every day. So I hope that it's, you know, a reasonable amount, you know, let's say an hour or so's worth of dailies, and that it's group friendly, that if there is phased areas that, and I'm in a group, that we don't have to do it four times.
Right. I completely agree on that. I do hope that all the daily stuff is group friendly. As far as the open world PvP, I think that where they're going to do that is it's probably going to be more of an instant area. So you might have a bunch of instances of Iocath is what I'm probably foreseeing there. But the interesting thing, you'll be able to choose what we're going to be able to do as far as the faction wise. So I wonder how the chat is going to work. That will be interesting, because I think the Odessan Warzone is the only place where they've actually had both factions being able to chat, right?
Interesting question.
So the chat being able to work, that I could see that being possibly something that might be a little issue. So that will be interesting. But I have to say, anytime they can implement a walker into any gameplay is pretty awesome. So you're going to be able to get this, you'll be able to loot other players for this currency. Now, it's not, you're not actually stealing other players' currency. It's going to be like if that person was an NPC and you can loot them, which I'm seeing, oh, look, loot. You kneel down to get the loot. Oh, you die. You're dead. But anyway, if you get the currency, you get enough currency, you can actually go to a vendor and get a walker that you can stomp on people in open world PvP. How awesome is that? Come on.
Yeah.
We've all wanted to get in a walker and step on somebody.
I love that. No,
I've got you in my sights, JT.
I know, right? Everybody's got
that. I really enjoy PvP, actually. Well, you know that. But I also enjoy open world PvP from every now and then. And actually, the first thing I thought of when I heard about the Walker was like, oh, it's like it reminded me of Lord of the Rings Online, where you have open world PvP as well in a certain region. You don't have a group matched PvP like you have in Star Wars. So you only have open world PvP. And there you have, basically the people who fight for Mordor, like orcs and spiders and all that sort of stuff, via the free peoples. And if you do certain things there, you can either purchase a ranger who is extremely overpowered, or a huge troll who smashes on other players. So you already have it there, basically. And it is kind of fun. It isn't used always, you know. I think in Star Wars, The Old Republic, it's going to be easier to get a walker. And, well, it sounds like as if that's like what you want and there will be multiple walkers around, but I don't know. It's so hard to think about what it's going to be actually like, you know, because it's all so different from what we are used to.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different. And we had a couple of articles that we're going to include in our show notes, one from ZamZam and one from Kid Lee. Kid Lee's a video, ZamZam's a blog post. ZamZam says that she feels as though that there's a feeling in the PvP community that this is kind of a band-aid or a throat, you know, kind of a throw me to the PvP community who are wanting more content. And, you know, if you complain about not having PvP content, and they give you PvP content, don't slap their hand when they give you something you're asking for. They're trying to encourage world PvP. I think it, you know, it's a good thing that the devs are thinking about that. They're releasing a new operation. They're releasing, you know, some new story that goes along with that. They're trying to encourage PvP along with that. To me, that they're saying that they're kind of focus is broad and not narrowed, which, you know, their big concern over the last, you know, prior year and a half was that their focus was too narrow, only on story. So here they are coming out with raid, story, PvP, kind of hitting the three sweet spots.
Yeah, no, I agree, actually. I think it's really nice. They're like trying to bring these MMO elements back after they've focused on story so much. And they're trying new things, which I always think is interesting. I've also heard the same, well, a different complaint, but from the other side, from PvEers who say like, hey, open world, I don't want to be forced to play PvP. And then I think, yeah, you're not forced to play PvP. I mean, there's just new content. If it's not your type of content, you don't play it. You will be able to do other things on Ayakat, I'm sure, as well. Not just open world PvP. Which they assumed.
Well, honestly, I think, I kind of like what Mock said, I mean, they actually have addressed some PvP in an update that was supposed to pretty much return gear to bosses in operations and start a new operation and daily area. There was no mention of PvP at all in earlier stuff. It was like thought that it was going to be a later update, and they actually added some PvP elements into it, so I think it's a bonus thing that they're doing it, and I'm glad that they are still trying to do open world PvP. I know that in the past with Ilum and some other bad experiences, it has not panned out the way we all had envisioned, like the big wars and stuff that we've seen in the movies. But the fact that they're actually trying it again and trying some new aspects, like with the Walker, the fact that you can play a Jedi as an Imperial and vice versa, I think it's definitely some things that they're actually taking chances. In a lot of games, you do not see that anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And actually, I'm also kind of excited about being able to play the opposite faction. I know a lot of people have dark side characters that are playing on the Republic side, or they have light side characters that play on the Imperial side. For instance, a light side warrior is a very interesting story. I don't know if one of you has tried that, but it's very different from dark side.
Yes.
So it's very interesting to make those choices. And for instance, an operative as well, you can also go light side there. You can sort of fight for the Republic then. Now you can actually go on and say, hey, I'm gonna join that opposite faction then. For players who make background stories for their characters, this is actually pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, actually, that's an awesome thing. You led right into where I was going with that. Larry Everett, who does many things, he's on Hyperspace Beacon, which he's actually hosting us now. Thank you, Mr. Larry Everett. He's at Massively OP, and also he does an in-character segment on Passionately Casual, and their guild is actually on the imp side, but they're actually like they're rebels in disguise, and they're like trying to weed out things. So this is going to actually give them a game mechanic where they can actually switch back to the Republic and PvP the Empire and still be an Empire guild and still keep a whole idea that they're in disguise and stuff like that. So this is kind of an interesting thing with, like you said, for people that have stories with their characters, like the RPers. So I think it definitely could be something used in that aspect of things.
Definitely agree.
So, and I know we've went back. I know we did this for our loyal fans, but our new fans are begging for more Candy Crush. So in the community buzz, which we already kind of got to that about what we think of the IOCath, and then also ZamZam and her article and the Kid Lee video, which we will have links to both of those in our show notes. So now it comes to our other question about Candy Crush. Is it pay to win? I know.
Yeah, I have no comment on that subject.
Moxie can confirm nor deny that it is.
Yeah.
The dark side of Candy Crush. It might be moving along.
We should mention you can play it chill. You just have to be patient.
Very patient. Because there are like some like borderline pay to win things in there. For instance, if you lose a level, if you don't make it a few times, then you're locked out for a while.
Right.
You can't play the game. That's pretty hardcore, I would say. Like,
than a battle res, though? I mean, come on, let's be real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah exactly. Cool, it's like the battle res. And people are making fun of this game, you know? They say, like, it's not real or something, but this is actually a really hardcore game. If you just fail too often, you have to wait, like, up to 20 minutes before you can play again.
What?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but during that 20 minutes, I can go over and play Candy Crush Soda.
Exactly. See, that's where I'm looking at it. That, or again, like Mox's tips earlier, get your parents' or friends' credit cards. No, just kidding. Don't do that. But if you can have a lot of friends send you gifts, that's the way you can actually continue to play. If somebody else will send you a heart, so you get another life, or vice versa, send you.
Oh, that's how it works. Yeah. But does that person also have to pay for that heart then?
No.
That they send you?
No. If it's a gift via the like Facebook or the mobile network, they send you that stuff, the gifts.
But
no, it's
not. Can I give away a heart if I don't have any because I suck too much myself?
No, yes. You can give away hearts and stuff, gifts.
Okay.
Even if you're still at level one, you can't get past it.
Oh.
So, Rav, what you need to do is set up a Patreon for your website and have people join, and then they're like, it'll be your circle of hearts. And they can send you hearts.
Oh, that sounds like such a good idea, Mox. Thank you. I'm writing down right away.
Nice. Excellent. But, you know, you want to get in on this early because you never know. Disney may come in and buy Candy Crush.
Look at you taking my thunder there. We'd mentioned about group content. So I'm proposing that Disney buys Candy Crush and creates, wait for it, Crush Wars. The dark chocolate rises.
Excellent.
I'm just saying, you have your group content. You have your multiple teams going in there, taking on the other team and seeing how fast you can complete a board. I'm just saying.
And you have your cash behemoth behind it.
Yep. I'm just saying that they could buy it up. It's a huge cash generator. I'm saying it's a win-win. It's win-win, people.
They need to make back that money for the $4 billion they spent on Star Wars somehow.
Right.
And Candy Crush could be the way.
Or just the icing on the cake. Icing, see what I did there?
I do see what you did there, sir.
Are we making people hungry?
I know, right? I'm starting to get that way myself. Ooh. So Rav, you're kind of the one that led us down this path. What is the future for Ravelation along with this?
Oh, right. You want to talk about... Yeah, well, I haven't written about Candy Crush yet. But I've also been looking around, like just doing some sort of research in the blogosphere to see what other people are writing about and what kind of angle they're taking in their writing. And turns out there aren't actually any Candy Crush blogs. So that's kind of bummer. But I'm trying to see it positive. So I just have my work cut out for me now, and I'll have the most content of all the Candy Crush blogs out there.
I mean, seriously, I think we're breaking ground here, is what I like to think.
Yeah,
or I think breaking so too. Candy. Yeah. Breaking candy. See what it did.
Crushing candy.
I know. Yeah. Right? Okay, that was bad. But it's so delicious.
In other minor news, episode 8, The Last Jedi, 257 days. That's, you know, so that's how long you have to Candy Crush until you can be playing Candy Crush in the theater while waiting for the movie to start.
Wait for the graphic.
I know, 257 days. I am so excited about that.
Yeah, it's as much as, you know, we're frustrated with the Old Republic, you know, the idea of a new Star Wars movie is always a positive thing. This is the golden age of Star Wars, after all.
And speaking of that, I know we don't have it in the show notes. I just have to say, if people are not watching Star Wars Rebels, oh my gosh, you are doing it, doing Star Wars wrong.
And this is coming from the man whose nephew doesn't watch it. So, you right, know, there's terrible. Some issues there, JT.
I've been trying to get on the boy to watch it. I can't. You know how the youngsters are. They think they know it all.
They know nothing.
They know nothing. Young Padawans, they have to learn on their own sometimes. Just have to let them make those mistakes. But definitely, Star Wars Rebels, another one in the Star Wars realm that definitely, oh my gosh, the last three episodes, the just recent three, are amazing. Even if you have not watched any Star Wars Rebels at all, watch these, the last three episodes. What were they called again, Mox? I can't think of the names of them, but...
I can't either.
The last two was a two-parter. Yeah. And, oh my gosh, Thrawn, which the Thrawn book is coming out soon. Was that the 8th?
No, the same day, the 11th, I believe.
Is it the 11th? I thought it was the 8th. Okay. It's coming out though very soon. And the episode build up on Thrawn and how he's been working on things to trap the rebels. Oh my gosh, he is just kick butt. I mean, I read The Heir of the Empire, and Thrawn is amazing there. The Star Wars Rebels does Thrawn justice. I just have to say that. So.
Oh, that's super cool. I'll have to check it out, actually, because I haven't yet. But I do know about Thrawn, and his character is just really good, you know. And if they manage to do that justice, that would be really awesome. Yeah, I'll check that out. Thanks for the tip.
Definitely. And then, do we have another? I think we have another community member. Are we going there with that announcement yet?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, let me just go and queue it up, and then we'll let it speak for itself. We'll go ahead and let you guys, it's a small video here. We'll let you guys enjoy.
I've been a Star Wars junkie for just about my whole life so far. It's not easy, you know? Now with Disney owning the franchise, it has become even harder to keep up with all the new content being released constantly and everywhere. It's sickening. I will be honest with you guys and my friends. What you're going to hear may sound sad for some or very welcome change for others, but I have to make this announcement, or rather a statement if you wish, because I value your support and your opinion. I've grown tired of Star Wars. I'm not talking about Star Wars The Old Republic specifically here, no, Star Wars as a whole. For some time now, I've been playing around with the idea of trying something new and different. Most of my friends from Solstice, my SWTOR guild, went to play WoW, World of Warcraft. Jim's been bugging me for months to join them. Well, I finally did. That's right, I'm switching to the dark side, and I will be primarily focusing on World of Warcraft content from now on. As you can see on the video, I've started a class and spec that's quite unusual for my playstyle, but when I said I'm looking to make a drastic and dramatic change, I meant shockingly giant leap in a brand new direction. Expect a lot of WoW content in the coming days, weeks, and who knows, maybe years, why not? Oh, and for more details on what I'm actually planning to do, click on the YouTube card that will appear in the top right corner of the screen right about now. Thank you everyone for your support through the major decision, and I hope that you will keep enjoying my content in the future as well. Thank you for watching. I hope you have enjoyed the video. Click the like button and help me out. Visit my website vok.com for daily videos and news. To help me improve and expand, consider becoming my patron with a small monthly pledge. And stay in touch by following me on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, that was our good buddy there, Volk.
So... yeah, Volk is going to be manning the WoW realm, and I have to say, he's never looked better than seeing him in pigtails. Purple pigtails, to say the least. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the content he creates. He hit it out of the park in SWTOR and his other games that he does, Witcher and those. I expect nothing less than you know, him surpassing the other WoW content creators.
Well, it is. I mean, Volk has set a standard of excellence that, and I, this is no joke, his standard of excellence in his video editing, streaming, and everything like that. What the man does, he makes gold. That's just what he does. I mean, he touches it, it's gold.
Absolutely. Speaking of WoW, I forgot to mention this, JT. Do you have that other graphic I gave you earlier?
Yeah, give me 1 second. Go and start talking.
Unholy Alliance, as you know, is our guild, and in addition to expanding into Candy Crush, obviously, we also have expanded into World of Warcraft. So you see here, we have made 2 guilds on the Airy Peak server. One is called The Unholy Alliance, since Unholy Alliance was already taken, so that is the Horde side, and then we have the Alliance side, which is Wookiee Mistake still. So those are there. If you're interested, shoot me a message on Twitter at Fort Worth Jim, and I am more than happy to get you an invite.
And I know there's been some mention of some jokes and stuff, but honestly, what Mox talks about right now with Unholy Alliance is going multi-game. That is not a joke, not at all. Actually, it is going cool. We've just kind of taken up the mantle of we've really got close with a lot of people in our guild, and so we want to keep everybody close no matter what game they're playing. So we're definitely going to have a multi-guild with different games as far as World of Warcraft and Mass Effect also. I know that we're going to start doing some, get a channel in our Discord set up for people to talk about the game, and also we're hoping to get some multiplayer going on. So, and I know Mr. Kidley plays a little bit of that, so we don't have to drag him into our Discord.
He's already in our server.
Yep, I know, but I just want to mention, give him a little heads up. As in, come over, dude.
Secondly, Sorcerista is hosting a trivia night, 8 o'clock tonight. Eastern Time, pubside, Ebon Hawk server, / cjoin Sorcerista, to participate. And we, let me put a link in there, since this will be done by the time this publishes.
Yeah,
I'll put a link in the chat for our fans that are here.
Thank you, sir. That's a good idea.
And finally, I also have a small thing. There's a cute blogging initiative that has been going around for a few years, and it's called Developer Awareness Week. It's basically about being nice to developers for once, because we gamers, we used to complain a lot about our games that we love.
Used to? That's the
gamers
part
complain?
Of being a gamer.
Exactly.
Complain?
So, complain? So basically, the thought about this sort of initiative this week is that we look at the people behind the games, like at the developers, like they are actually people, and to thank them for what they've been doing, just have a little bit of positivity in there. And the past years, this has been hosted by Rowan from I Have Touched the Sky, and before that by Scary Booster. They have blogs, not specifically about Star Wars, but just gaming in general. But they stopped blogging a lot, so they asked me to take over. So this week will be Developer Awareness Week, DAW 2017. And if you're a blogger, or you just write stuff on social media, and you write something positive about developers, let me know, and I'll put you in my wrap-up for this week.
And the key word there is positive. Obviously, you know, this is meant to let the developers know we appreciate the efforts they put into all the games that are out there, whether it be Candy Crush or SWTOR or WoW or even WildStar. The devs are there give us some enjoyment and give us something fun to do. They're not out there to ruin our lives, as many people on the forums of all those games, like to make it seem.
Oh, exactly. I think that's a great idea. And I know, all joking aside, with all the fun we like to have here and there, I definitely think that this is a worthwhile thing to do. Even if you're just going to give them a little positive feedback or comment like that, it would be something great to do. So you guys have anything else on our kind of inaugural kind of cast, I guess?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
Oh, I'm good. I just
you're whittling into my Candy Crush time, JT.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Let's go.
I thought you guys were playing. I'm playing
candies
right now. What are you talking about? Do you guys have a question, show topic, or maybe you want to announce an upcoming event? Maybe another game you like to play, like Candy Crush. Why not contact us? If you're interested, send an email to curlingrun@gmail.com. Who knows, your event idea might be heard on our next show.
Please take a moment to leave us a positive feedback on iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
And again, if you'd like to contact us or have any questions, ideas, discussion topics, emails at curlingrun@gmail.com. And yes, we're still going to keep the same email for right now.
You can also follow and find us at Carillion Run. Feel free to follow our personal Twitter pages as well. You can find Jason at JT_HollowNet and Mox at FTWorthJim and me at Rav_Griffin.
If you're on Facebook, like our Facebook page and or join our Facebook group. You can also leave a voicemail on our website, CarillionRun.com, or our Facebook page that could be featured on a future show.
Finally, if you would like to write for us, or maybe donate some hearts for our website, send an email to carillionrun@gmail.com.
That's going to wrap it up for us on our inaugural Carillion Crush Radio podcast. Thanks to all our fans, followers, loyal listeners. Thanks for all those that gave us the host today. I believe Kid Lee, Leo Brains, Jim, and we also had Redna. Thank you for the host, Larry Everett, on Hyperspace Beacon. Definitely go through there. I want to thank everybody that gave us a host on that. I know I probably missed a few people. Definitely go through there, guys. Scroll up there. Give them a follow. They do a lot of good stuff in the community, so definitely give them a follow and show them some love. They definitely appreciate that. And until next time, I'm Jason.
And I'm Rav.
I'm Mox. May the Force be with you, or keep those power-ups by your side, kid.
You've been listening to Carillion Crush Radio, the ultimate microtransaction podcast. Tune in next time to hear Mox say
April Fools
and transmission.